think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think
class war.
Class war, the end war.
We want to just quickly send a nice friendly message to the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia.
This is an anti-Nazi song.
Are back. The Rebel Beat relaunched with Firebrand Records, a Firebrand Records podcast. Season 2, we are going to get into it once a month. Class war on the dance floors and in your eardrum. We have a very exciting episode to get to, so do not go anywhere.
This is Son of None from Be More. And you're listening to Rebel Beat.
All right. And of course, you are tuned in to the Rebel Beat podcast. My name is Aaron, and this is the relaunch edition. We are very excited because, of course, we are now collaborating with Firebrand Records, A New World in Our Songs. Of course, a politically radical record label, and it is such a nice fit for us. You will find this podcast dropping once a month around the world in your eardrums and on the interwebs. You can get it at the Firebrand Records SoundCloud page. That's soundcloud.com/firebrand-records. You can also get it up on our website, rebelbeatradio.com. We are so excited to get into things. As you're probably noticing right now, we have a brand new theme song for the show, and I want to send a huge shout out and thank you to Son of None and DJ Mentos for hooking us up with this beat. We have a big show to get to. As you're going to notice, the format is going to be a little bit different. There's going to be slightly less music, slightly more focus on the interviews. The show is going to be a little bit shorter, but you know, all that in the hopes of bringing you a show that is hard hitting, to the point, still focus on those intersections between music, culture, and resistance. And we have three artists who are going to be our special guests on the program today who really encapsulate that so well. We are very, very pleased to welcome back on Ryan Harvey, of course, one of the founding members of Firebrand Records, radical folk singer based in Baltimore. Also, we got Karim Samara, who is a Palestinian singer based out of the UK. He's been doing a lot of collaboration with Ryan Harvey, and he is, of course, also a member of an amazing band from the UK called Rast. And as well, we've got Shireen on the program, a singer from the Netherlands who does her own brand of what she calls crisis folk. So we're going to be catching up with them a bit later in the podcast. We got a chance to talk about so much that's going on, not only in the Firebrand Records family, you know, but also lots of stuff. Prophets of Rage, this incredible new kind of relaunch of Rage Against the Machine with members of Public Enemy and Cypress Hill. We talked about, you know, songs of resistance from all around the world, upcoming resistance against Donald Trump and the Republican convention, the Democratic convention that's happening in the U.S. this summer. So we are going to get to that, all of that, in just a little bit. And of course, tell your friends about this podcast, because we haven't gone anywhere. We have so much amazing, exciting stuff to be coming your way later this summer. Make sure you subscribe. You can get us through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. What else? We're up on TuneIn. And find us on our social media at Twitter, Rebel Beat Radio, Facebook.com/Rebel Beat Radio, and of course, FirebrandRecords.com. We'll be right back. All right, so we'll start you off today with some of our favorites, some brand new tracks that have been dropping, that have been making waves and are absolutely mind-blowing. This first one from some perennial favorites of ours here at The Rebel Beat. This is A Tribe Called Red, Indigenous Electronic Music Ensemble from Ottawa, Algonquin Territory, in so-called Ontario, so-called Canada. This is a new single of theirs called Stadium Powwow. And I wanted to play this because I think this song is really, really, really important right now. First of all, there's a video for this tune that you guys gotta go check out. It's up on YouTube. And the significance of it, just talk about it just a little bit. So, Stadium Powwow. Ian Campeau, who is one of the founding members of A Tribe Called Red, and of course, these are all Indigenous DJs, he is also an activist in the movement to try to get sports teams to ban racist mascots. So, of course, you know, maybe the most visible manifestation of that in North America right now is the campaign to get the Washington Redskins to change their name. Also up here in Canada, there's kind of a movement that's starting to get the Edmonton Eskimos to change their name. Ian Campeau, who lives in Ottawa, is trying to get the Nepean Redskins, which is a football team in the suburb of Ottawa, Nepean. He's trying to push them to change their name as well. And, you know, there's definitely a nod to that in this track. Also, if you do check out the video, it features a cameo from the Unistoten camp, which is an Indigenous-led camp to block 7 different oil and gas pipelines in northern so-called British Columbia in Canada. I say so-called because British Columbia was never ceded to the Crown or the Canadian state, and it is contested territory. Well, the Wet'suwet'en people of the Unistoten camp recently just won a huge victory at the Canadian Federal Court of Appeal last June, which struck down Enbridge's Northern Gateway Pipeline. This is a huge pipeline project that Enbridge, which is a huge oil company based in Canada, they wanted to build through unceded Indigenous territory in BC, and it was stopped not only by this court injunction, but also by years and years and years of direct action and blockades by the Unistoten camp, who have said a resounding no to these pipelines. Very inspiring. Go check it out. Tribe Called Red, Stadium Powwow.
Fighting, there's a fact. Oh, 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 we gotta do it. Who got the fire? I'm bringing the light of fluid. The system is sinking, and they're trying to tie you to it. They're trying to squeeze the truth out of liar. You stupid. And it was founded on blood, tears, and bondage. Free labor, rape, murder, and carnage. If everybody would be totally honest, we could resolve this issue, move beyond this. Return the resource to its owners. This is indigenous land, but who's homeless? I rep the sovereign, ancestor offering. Colonial mentality in the coffin. If you study science, you call it capitalism. The majority of people would miss it, not even listen. It's on us to turn it right side up. That's righteous, now I mean right and just.
Go ahead and stand up. Every shade of red blood, with landslides, river, and mud. And every fight gets better with love. Go ahead and stand up. Pull back your hair. Show that lovely face, cause baby, we are. This is how we set it off from top to bottom. We just flow, we're rising up to take down injustice in all its forms. We can do it on our own. We've been doing it for so long. Ain't nothing here can hold us back, cause we were born fighting, that's a fact. Oh, your dirty money, no, it's dirty money, it's dirty money. Whoa, we don't want you, your dirty money, no, it's dirty money, and banks are funny. Whoa, we don't want you, your dirty money, no, it's dirty money, it's dirty money. Whoa, we don't want you, your dirty money, no.
So that track we just heard right there was called We Can Do It, Dirty Money by Amai Kuda, featuring Kinney Starr and M1 of Dead Prez. Amai Kuda is an amazing Toronto-based artist, and there's also an amazing video for that tune, which you should go check out on YouTube. We'll be posting a lot of these videos up on the show page as well, rebelbeatradio.com. And the next track we want to go to is a beautiful one by Bells Roar, who is, of course, part of the Firebrand Records family. It's been a really, really, really heavy last few weeks for so many of us. Of course, you know, in just the last few days or the last few weeks, depending on when you're listening to this, there have been the police killings of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, both captured on a video. There was, you know, the violence that we saw that took place in Dallas, just triggering so much emotion. And they're really, really sad times. I don't feel like I have a lot to add to the conversation that hasn't already been so eloquently said or sung by so many people, including this track right here from Bells Roar. This is called Black Lives. Check out the video for it. Really, really moving. And, you know, just love and power to all of you out there struggling right now.
Would you go?
Yeah.
I'm joined right now with our three special guests for this inaugural podcast of the Rebel Beat with Firebrand Records. And of course, they're all Firebrand Records artists. So want to welcome on to the program Ryan Harvey, Kareem Samara, and Shireen. Welcome you all.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
All right. So you guys are all joining me from Baltimore, where I'm sure it's hot down there. It's hot up here in Montreal. You guys survive in the heat?
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah. There's a breeze every 30 minutes.
We look out for that one.
We see it coming through the trees from the north.
We run outside.
Wicked. Well, of course, you know, our listeners are probably familiar with Ryan. You've been on the show a few times. Let's start with Kareem and Shireen. Maybe you guys can introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Sure. Should I go first?
Yeah, you should.
All right. I'm from the Netherlands. I've been playing political songs that I usually refer to as crisis folk. There's, you know, lots of activist love songs, basically. That's kind of what they are.
Wow.
So, you know, trying to tell a story and putting some melodies in the movement.
Crisis folk. Tell me more about that. That sounds interesting.
When I started doing this, I felt that since Ryan had already coined the riot folk thing, actually, I wasn't really aware of that then, but I felt that, you know, at the time, people were talking about the crisis, you know, and I was quite struck by the slogan that capitalism is the crisis. And I felt that people sometimes forgot that actually it's capitalism that is creating a lot of things that we call the crisis right now.
Most of my heroes are ordinary. Their shapes, forms, and sizes, they may vary. And some are just like you, and some are like me. Some of my heroes are ordinary. And some of my heroes, they know how to. Of kilter or something tilts, they know what to do with those hammers and nails. Some of my heroes, they know how to build.
And Kareem, why don't you introduce yourself?
I am a guitarist and oud player, and I sort of got into Arabic music through actually a lot of my Palestinian solidarity activism in the UK. And I am a part of Artists of Palestine, which is an organization promoting BDS and the cultural boycott of Israel in response to the Palestinian civil society's call for that. And I'm also a member of London Palestine Action, who do creative actions against people complicit in Israeli apartheid and Israeli war crimes. And through that, I kind of went from a punk rock kind of background in music to playing traditional Arabic folk and Arabic classical music. And I've been playing with a band called Rast that I formed with a few people who are similarly to me, having similar backgrounds and love of different types of music. And then through that, that's how I met Ryan. And so we're kind of blending all of my different musical backgrounds into one, really. So I'm playing the oud with Ryan, but I'm not playing it in an Arabic classical kind of way. I'm playing it very much in a punk rock / US protest folk way, actually. So it's really interesting, and it brings together everything that I'm passionate about and believe in.
Coast guard on the horizon, waiting for the next round of bribing. A forest lined with people, blamed, persecuted, and made illegal. Revolutionaries and widows, orphan survivors and heroes, the ones who made it safely, who left their friends and families. Well, the fog rolls into Lesbos, a February wind.
So I know, like, actually on our last episode of the Rebel Beat we did before we took a little break, we were talking with Ryan about the track you guys did together, Thin Blue Border, which is, of course, a reflection on, you know, the so-called refugee crisis in Europe. And our listeners should definitely go back and check out that interview. Check out that song, too. Also love the fact that you're bringing up BDS and all this amazing, you know, cultural solidarity with Palestine, because that's something that we've covered a little bit on the show. You know, artists, musicians doing the boycott of Israeli apartheid. And I'm hoping that we'll delve deeper into that in this adventure that we're doing with Firebrand Records. So amazing.
I mean, my solo stuff that I'm working on at the moment and is not going to be around for, it's not going to be ready for quite a while, is heavily based on like traditional Palestinian and Arabic rhythms, and the kind of folk songs and resistance songs and women's songs that have existed in Palestine for longer than the Israeli state has. And resistance song, workers' songs, songs about people leaving to get work, and traditional dance, etc. Something I tend to do in a solo show. And hopefully it's something that will help. I know a lot of other artists are doing it, but something will help build that kind of cultural acknowledgement of a Palestinian culture that has existed for longer than the struggle, in a way. And you know, and obviously before the Israeli state, we were occupied in Palestine by the British, by the Turkish, you know, so the struggle goes back a long way in that sense.
Culture, especially music, is definitely at the backbone of so many struggles for liberation that we're seeing around the world today. And that's exactly the kind of thing that we're going to be delving into deeper and deeper as we move forward here with the Rebel Beat, being this Firebrand Records podcast right now, which is super exciting. Also very exciting is the fact that the three of you are kind of collaborating. I know you guys just had some shows recently. You're playing in Baltimore, I believe Nashville, Tennessee as well. Tell us about this collaboration between Shireen, Kareem, and Ryan.
Yeah. So we just did two shows opening for Ani DeFranco and Chastity Brown, who y'all know who Ani DeFranco is, but y'all should check out Chastity Brown online. She's a really talented musician and songwriter and activist, and it was really cool to hang out with those folks and get to perform. And then we had a Firebrand showcase last night called Be More on Fire that me and Son of Nun organize on a semi-monthly basis, where we profile different radical kind of political social justice oriented musicians and poets in Baltimore. But yeah, so we're like collaborating. It started as a collaboration between me and Kareem's band, Rost. And at the same time, me and Shireen had met playing shows together in the Netherlands, where she lives, and a random show in Spain as well. And then it turned into sort of like, I've got a bunch of these songs that I've been writing in the last couple years. And we sort of like handpicked these songs that had a couple of specific correlations with each other. Specifically, like a lot of them were centered around sort of the post 2011 Middle East and its periphery, which would include Southern Europe. And then kind of leading into like the Black Lives Matter and this sort of new black movement. And like tying, you know, one of the songs that we have is called Smell It in the Air. And it's about the American manufactured tear gas canisters made in Pennsylvania. But like through that simple song, we're connecting these protest movements in Egypt, in Greece, in Palestine, in Turkey, and in Ferguson, Missouri. So all places where the same tear gas was used. And that's sort of like kind of a snapshot of our collaboration has been paying tribute to those movements that have been so inspiring and sort of like we're able to take what could have been really hopeless times and just like flipped it over, and that kind of started in the Middle East and grew outwards from there. And sort of trying to tie the narratives together to say, look, like, of course, each of these movements has its own specific history and its own context from which it emerged, but you have to stand back and recognize the interplay between all of them and the way that things cross-pollinate through the internet and through people traveling and telling stories and stuff. So that's kind of the theme around it. Did you want to say anything about it, y'all?
Well, I just think that you, one of the things that you saw in Rast and one of the things you saw in us is doing songs that related to the Middle East with people that had not only a knowledge of the politics, but also had heritage and family and friends there that could also give you a different perspective when you're singing these songs and perhaps even filtering these songs. Not that you needed to rewrite anything, but I mean, I think it made the songs come to life a little bit more for you. And having, you know, Basil, who was in Rast, having family in Syria, and me having friends and family in Syria, and myself being in Egypt during the 2011 uprising. And I just think that that made those songs hit harder for you as a performer, but also as a listener. People hearing songs about the Middle East with, you know, maybe with a tabla drum doing something that a tabla drum never usually does. And I guess what we've taken from that is now me doing an oud line or a piece of music on the oud that an oud doesn't normally play.
Yeah, and on a musical note there, I think it's really, as a musician myself, I really am inspired to sing songs that hit home for me and that have a message that I can stand behind. And to play with these two very talented musicians is also a really, really great thing. I feel that activists are very used to networking and finding strength, and I like the fact that we're doing that as activist musicians right now as well.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some Firebrand news, because there's been a lot of exciting stuff happening this summer. I mean, you know, summer is a time when some people are just like kicking back and relaxing, and you guys just seem like it's go, go, go time, you know, time to throw down. So I guess the biggest news up until now is that you guys dropped this new single back in June, Old Man Trump, with, of course, Ani DeFranco and Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine. It's a rendition of an unreleased Woody Guthrie song. And I know, like, that song has been kind of making the rounds in the media. Democracy Now! Did a piece about it. It's been in The Guardian. But, yeah, tell us more about Old Man Trump.
Yeah, so it wasn't actually ever a song. It was three incomplete verses that – so, yeah, so it came across my desk or whatever, you know, the place where I sit with my computer, which is
near the fan,
which is in fact a desk. But you know, yeah, like I saw the song and I was like, oh man, like, of course, you know, like it actually wasn't even that surprising. It was just like, of course, Woody Guthrie lived in Fred Trump's building. Like, why not? You know, everything else is completely absurd right now. So,
right. But wait. We should like tell the story for the listeners who don't know it.
Yeah.
So Woody Guthrie, Fred Trump, Donald Trump, what's the whole connection there? What's the story behind the song?
So Fred Trump is Donald Trump's father, and he was this Ku Klux Klan supporting slumlord, bigot, capitalist, you know, cutthroat, whatever, who made a ton of money kind of by just being straight up a racist landlord like so many others have been, but also through basically like exploiting these sort of intentional loopholes in low-income housing. So he made tons of money basically giving people crappy apartments.
And not giving people
apartments. He was, you know, he was a classic American figure. And then, you know, he gave his son his initial seed money to become the sort of, you know, casino tycoon that he is now.
Right.
And then you've got Woody Guthrie, who in 1950 moves into the Trump, you know, what at the time was called the Beach Haven. I think it's still called Beach Haven. in New York. And what he lived there, and he hated his landlord, and he wrote about it in a number of little pieces. And so one of the songs was to the tune of I Ain't Got No Home, and that was sort of what became the chorus of our song. And it's saying Beach Haven ain't my home. Basically, he's saying, like, I might live here, but it's not my home. Mm. And then he had these two other scraps, and one of them was, like, directly critical of who he called Old Man Trump. And the other one was more like Woody Guthrie kind of saying, like, what he would do if he ran the apartment, right? Like he's welcoming people of all stripes to come in and love as they please and blah, blah, blah. So which I assume at the time, maybe that line had something to do with, like black and white people in couples that were trying to live there and maybe being kept out. Because it says, like, I welcome you here to love in any way you please. But I really like that line because it also, especially if that was written today, how we would interpret that would probably be about, like folks of any sexual orientation living the life that they want and living the life that they live. So I liked how that line had this ambiguity to it. So basically me and Nora Guthrie, Woody's daughter, we edited the song together and we worked out kind of turning it into a functioning song. And then it was kind of in my hands to figure out what to do with it musically. So it went through a couple incarnations before I settled on the current one, which was kind of a sort of stripped down folk punk sort of, you know, my friend Carl, who did a lot of the music in the song, who's part of Tom Morello's band, the Freedom Fighter Orchestra. I was like, yo, let's just like make it folk punk, just make it fun. And like, just kind of like, you know, Woody Guthrie wrote pretty standard songs. He didn't usually do anything very fancy. So I was like, let's not do anything too fancy. But of course, throw in Tom Morello doing a very Tom Morello sounding like country guitar solo, because why not? The option was there. Tom wanted to be involved. And then, you know, we couldn't think of anyone better to approach than Ani DeFranco, being, you know, in that same exact lineage of like post Woody Guthrie American folk musicians.
For sure. Yeah, a huge legend in her own right.
Yeah, she's a giant in that sense. She's an insanely good guitarist, and not just good. I mean, she invented things on an instrument that's so old. She did things that people said, "What?" And you know, she wasn't limited to, what I didn't want to do is become one of these folk musicians that covered a Woody Guthrie song and tried to make it sound like Woody Guthrie and tried to like do the Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie throwback thing. We wanted to represent that we're part of the lineage of Woody Guthrie, that we respect Woody Guthrie, and that we could take one of his songs but sing it in a current tone so that musically and aesthetically it sounds modern. Because as I was saying when we did this interview with The Guardian, like, this is a song it's a modern song that just happened to be written in the past. It's still as true today as it was then.
Well, I suppose it all meant Trump knows this time it's racial hate. He draws in that blood pie of human hearts when he draws that color line. Here at his beach, leaving family pride, yeah. Beach, just can't pay this rent. racial hate. He drop in that blood pie of human hearts when he draw that color line. Here at his Beach Haven family project. Beach Haven ain't my home. I just can't pay this rent. My money's half a train and my soul's brand new.
Another huge thing that's happening around the Firebrand family this summer is Prophets of Rage. Holy shit, this is mind-blowing. I feel like this is a once-in-a-generation kind of thing.
We were asked to join, but we have like bigger fish to fry. And I don't know if hanging out with those people is any good for our career.
Yeah, we just had a lot of other stuff to do.
Yeah.
No, Tom claims that he tried to join the Riot Folk Collective when we formed, and we didn't remember if that was true or not. So we're gonna start telling people that we were asked to join Prophets of Rage, and we told them no. No, but yeah, it's cool, huh?
Yeah. It's funny. They just announced a show in Montreal. Unfortunately, I'm out of town that day, but they're doing a couple Canadian dates, and I know they're going like all over the U.S. Have you guys had a chance to check them out yet?
No, but a little bird has told us that we will probably get to see them at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
That's right.
In a few weeks, which I'll be at with Son of None. So yeah, you might see something happen there.
Cool.
And I'm not saying might just because it sounds cool, but it's literally because things are very chaotic right now. They're doing big things and you know how Tom rolls. He likes to cause beautiful trouble and play good solid rock and roll and make that shit political. So yeah, it's going to be cool.
It is a band featuring the five of us, Each Against the Machine, Chuck D from Public Enemy, and Be Real from the mighty Cypress Hill.
I had a picture of Malcolm X and had the quote, "Whatever happened to the Prophets of Rage?"
It's not just music, this is a movement. There's a particular historical moment that demands a response from the music that we've made in our careers, the music that we're making together.
Their kind of slogan or tagline is "Make America Rage Again," which kind of brings me to my next question. Is it seems like a lot of the work that you guys have been doing, that Firebrand has been doing, Prophets of Rage, this summer has been really geared around Donald Trump, the Republicans, the upcoming election, of course, in the U.S. Maybe it's like an obvious question to ask, like, why is this so important to you guys? But, you know, for people outside the U.S. like myself, and, you know, maybe for Kareem and Shireen as well, I don't know, like maybe for us who aren't necessarily living this kind of rise of fascism in the U.S. right now, why is this work that you guys are doing musically, politically, so important right now?
Well, I think we have a lot of fascism rising in Europe right now as well as in the US. So I feel these are global issues, and definitely the US election, of course, is something the whole world always looks at because it's the biggest superpower right now.
You know, we're all in danger of having our own little blonde-haired fascist as our leader.
That's right.
You know, whether it be Geert Wilders or whether it be Boris Johnson or whether it be Donald Trump. And, you know, they're linked. They're, you know, the Trump phenomenon is not existing in a vacuum. It's all linked with the economic crisis around the world. It's all linked to an increase in rhetoric blaming Muslims and immigrants for what is making a white population or white segment of a population, white working class segment of a population, poorer. You know, not blaming bankers, not blaming people that are making money, not blaming the politicians. Well, maybe there is an aspect of blaming what they see as traitor politicians. Mm. But it's linked, and you know, rather than being pros for something else, which is sometimes harder to do, you often unite in what you don't want. And, you know, for my American friends and for my own safety and for my family and friends' safety in the Middle East, Donald Trump is, you know, he hasn't killed anybody yet, but there's a good chance he could do something really, really stupid.
When it comes to Donald Trump, the scariest thing about Donald Trump is his supporters. It's like he's just an idiot. Whatever, who cares, you know? Like, he goes on the Howard Stern show, says a bunch of gross, creepy, you know, like, just sexist, gross crap. But, okay, whatever. But then you look out and you see all the people that support him. You see how they're behaving in the streets. These neo-Nazis in Sacramento that stabbed 6 people last week. You know, these people showing up with assault rifles outside of mosques. He's mobilized all of those people and brought them into his tent, and he likes it. He's happy about that. That's what's scary. And if we want to zoom out a little bit to look at Europe and the US, like, what are we actually looking at, right? What's the great period in America that Donald Trump's talking about? One can assume he's talking about the 40s and 50s. Right? The white 50s. You know, that's the era that's where the nostalgia points back to.
Post-winning the war.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not talking about America in 1890 or something like this. And you know, maybe they're, you know, some people are interpreting it as, you know, pre-Civil War America or whatever. But, like, I've got Trump supporters in my family. It's the 50s. That's what people are thinking about. That's where things went wrong. The civil rights movement seemed to be, you know, like, for those people, for those white racist Trump supporters, the civil rights movement was like the beginning of their loss of the government, of what they perceive as the U.S. government becoming an institution that was not serving white people. How they can come to that conclusion is baffling to me, but they do believe this. In Europe, it's the same story, right? Like, when these people in Europe are talking about basically the same idea of, like, making blank great again and, like, restoring this thing that, if it ever existed, it existed for a very, very short time period after the Second World War. Because I'm sure they're not talking about, like, the great Europe when 60 million people died in the 1930s and 40s. Probably not. Right. Wasn't a bright time period for Europe. So it's... But what I think we're seeing is we're coming up at the end of a specific economic era that began after World War II with the Bretton Woods institutions and the IMF and the World Bank and this sort of, you know, this I don't like to say it because it sounds conspiratorial, but this new world order that was defined at the end of the Second World War. And that era is ending. Its institutions are turning on themselves. It's financial schemes that sort of created these bubbles where wealth was accumulated are they're exhausted, and people have lost faith in it. And so what are people doing? Some are turning back to what existed before then, which was fascism and nationalism.
Right.
And then others are turning back to the leftist movements that existed at the time. And then others, like some of us, I think, are looking forward and looking at like new political orientations, which is to tie it back to what we do, which is one of the reasons I think that the post 2011 era is so interesting, is because it did represent both a simultaneous rejection and embrace of combinations of political ideologies. And it challenged a lot of things because it basically said, hey, everything that's happened before us has sort of failed. Let's figure this out.
The RNC, the Republican Convention, is coming up July 18th to the 21st. Prophets of Rage is going to be there. You guys are going to be down there. What can people expect coming up in Cleveland later this month?
Dude, can I say fuck on here?
You can say fuck as many times as you want.
Who the fuck knows? It's like, it's going to be crazy. And I don't just mean like in a rock and roll sense. I mean, you've got this traditionalist workers' party, these neo-Nazis who did the shit in Sacramento, talking about showing up to protect Trump supporters from leftist thugs. I hope there's a lot of leftist thugs there. Mm. And you've got Vets Versus Hate, you know, this sort of group that grew out of Iraq Veterans Against the War and mobilized as a response to the hyper racism and xenophobia of Donald Trump's supporters and his rhetoric. And they're going to be out on the streets there. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. But what I do know about Firebrand stuff is that right after the RNC, we're going to be out in Denver doing this anti-trans-Pacific partnership roadshow kickoff event.
That's right, yeah. And that was my next question, too.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
So that's going to be I wonder if I can talk about this secret release that we're – oh, yeah, it already got announced, kind of, but – so another cool thing we're doing, the day before that show, we're going to be releasing a really exciting song from Ana Tijoux from Chile.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
She is so dope.
We're doing this single with her, which is really cool. Then we're going to be in Denver. It's going to be Tom Morello and the whole Freedom Fighter Orchestra. It's going to be Anti-Flag doing an acoustic show. It's going to be the Downtown Boys, pretty hot punk band making the rounds right now from Rhode Island. Mm. It's going to be Taina Asili from New York. It's going to be myself. It's going to be Evan Greer out of Boston, who was part of Riot Folk with me. It's going to be Son of None. And I think Leah Rose from Built for the Sea is going to be there. And then on July 30th, we're doing a show in San Diego. I don't think the details are public yet, so I can't say anything about it. But we're going to keep doing these shows throughout the next couple of months. And then in August 19th, we're in Seattle with Talib Kweli headlining. And again, with Anti-Flag, with the Downtown Boys, with Taina Asili. Myself, Son of None, and Bell's Roar. And then we're going to be in Portland the night after that, August 20th, with a similar lineup, but without Talib. He's going to be going back home. So people should expect really cool collaborative concerts in the next couple of months in random major cities, specifically talking about the issues involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and the sort of like corporate structure of trade agreements like this, and expect really cool artists who have really dope politics and multi-genre concerts from them.
Wicked. Okay, so yeah, all the details for that are up at rockagainstthetpp.org. Our listeners in Canada to pay extra special attention to that too, because that affects us up here as well. Talib Kweli, holy shit, one of my all-time favorites. So that's very cool that you've got him on that tour. And yeah, lastly, like any other releases coming out from Firebrand in the near future? You mentioned the Ana Tijoux single, but anything else you can tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, me and Shireen and Kareem are gonna have something hopefully in the fall, maybe in the winter. We're just putting finishing touches, which is a long process, because our music is not, we didn't really know what we were going for when we started recording. We've been sort of, trying to create something that sounds really new and fresh. And like Kareem was saying, we're trying to honor the songs. So that's going to be coming. We're going to have some new stuff from Bell's Roar. We're going to have some new stuff from Built for the Sea. If folks are hearing this on the 13th, then you will know that yesterday, the 12th, we released the video for Old Man Trump, which is pretty cool.
Sweet.
And we filmed it in Baltimore with the Baltimore Right to Housing Alliance and a bunch of local activists and organizers and cool friends of mine came out to be in the video. Yeah.
That all sounds amazing. Lots of stuff to look forward to. We've been with Ryan Harvey, Kareem Samara, and Shireen. How does it feel for you guys to be on the inaugural launch episode of season 2 of the Rebel Beat on Firebrand Records?
Stay settled with season 2, huh? I like that.
Yeah.
Very honored.
It's the start of a beautiful friendship.
Indeed.
And my cat has come to join us. I'm honored and I'm also psyched. I think that as I've said to you before, and I think I've said it on the show before, but you know, you've been doing the same thing that a lot of the artists on Firebrand have been doing, and a lot of artists that aren't on Firebrand have been doing, which is pushing really hard on the cultural front of, you know, this current time period we're in, and reminding people that that the world is full of political music and it's full of people with good ideas who are talking about them in song, despite what so often journalists in the corporate media sphere seem to define as being this period that's like devoid of protest music and like, where's the Bob Dylan and all this crap. And you're out there, like we're out there being like, yo, it's all over the place. Like, I don't have enough time to tell you all about it or to interview everybody or make you a mix of it all.
For sure. I could be putting out like a 5-hour podcast every week, you know?
Easy. Just with things from Holland. And that's a small country.
But yeah, so it's awesome. I'm glad that we're working together, and I'm glad that hopefully we'll be helping with this online megaphone, putting out the Rebel Beat to more ears and attracting more artists to come in and chat with you.
Wicked. Well, once again, Ryan Harvey, Shireen, and Kareem Samara, we're going to be checking in with all of you guys, of course, you know, regularly on the show, hearing more of your music, checking in about what's happening on the political front, the front lines of this beautiful liberation struggle, all of our beautiful liberation struggles. So thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So we thought we'd do you a Woody Guthrie song here. Folks back east, they say, leaving home every day, beating the hot old dusty way out to the California line. Across the desert sands they roll, trying to get out of that old dust bowl. They think they're going to a sugar bowl. This is what they find. Police at the port of entry say, you're number 14,000 for today. And if you ain't got the do-re-mi, boy, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, you better go back to your beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. Maybe you want a house or a farm, not do nobody no harm, just take your vacations by the mountains or the sea. Well, don't sell that old cow for a car, you might want to stay right where you are, take a little advice from me. The warnings every day, and the headlines in the papers always say, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, boy, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, you better go back to your beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. Thank you. but believe it or not, you won't find it so hot. If you ain't got the do-re-mi, baby.
Gun store, where the fuck are you taking me?
Yeah, man, OG shit right here, man, yeah. We bout to twist it up, we bout to lift it up, we never giving up. For starting salary, it's hard reality, find solidarity, yeah. We gotta lead us to, but where they lead us to, they leave us or they see it through. Yeah, we packing precious metals, our shit is next level, we racing threat level. Every ghetto, every city like Miss Hill. They way too used to the Miss Hills. Hard to concentrate, hard to sit still. Mickey gone. Murder rate, permanent place in the top 10. We live here, these hipsters drop in. You hear them barrels cocking. They say consciousness, meaning nigga ain't rugged until they get beat with an inch of it. Self-made niggas don't get discovered. They acting like you owe them something. Homie, I don't owe you nothing. Fuck your beef. It's way too early in the morning for the hate. You ain't brush your teeth yet, nigga. Your toast ain't buttered. A perfect storm and the coast is flooded. Most discovered that my flow got them open. You pose and sound like your growth is stunning. Man, I'm going too fast. Let me slow down. I'm good walking in every ghetto around the world. The hood often embrace you when you profound words. I say the shit they relate to. I keep it down to earth. These other rappers sound like they hate you. Them niggas sound absurd. So when they walk through the ghetto, they get their chain snatched. They gotta talk to the ghetto to get the chain back. It's like an open air prison and it remained packed. Nothing but straight facts. Yeah.
Indy 5 for the people, by the people. Ha. Yeah, yeah, giddy up. Who got the juice now? Snatch it out your kitty's cups. That shit you gave is watered down. This one's the Basquiat. Lady brush with death, is this the Ottawa for cops? We double dutch and ducking shots. Every home ain't got a pops. Every man ain't selling rocks. A different will to win here. Different from switching cars. They pray that we switch our balls to a beam from a metaphor. World star and world stars. Lot of love in this life hard. Keep us praying like, oh God. Illegally thievery. Think of stealing off easily. Frustrated, we hate it. Yeah. That's why we scream out, nigga, we made it. That's the odd future, they know we was awesome creators. Something from nothing was told, King's Walk, but man, you frontin'. For the people and by the people, but them over money. I'm on my Violet Davis, yeah, working for justice. How you get away with murder? Be a cop and just kill us, look. How we supposed to not catch feelings? And it's alive, well, we got kids in these buildings. I'm on my Violet Davis, it's what you call it, defense. For all the drama they gave us, we spittin' Shonda Rhimes with. For you like ganja, that's what Shonda rhyme with. I holla gray or black if you're rich. Spread love ain't just the Brooklyn way. It's universal. 360 out of 9 lives. Woo! What a circle.
Welcome back to the Rebel Beat here. This is the relaunch edition of this podcast and the first one with Firebrand Records. Such an honor and a pleasure to be working with this amazing record label, with this amazing community. Make sure you go to their website, firebrandrecords.com. Go to their SoundCloud page. Check out all the amazing artists that are up there. When Ryan Harvey, from Firebrand, got in touch with me and said, hey, you're leaving CKUT Radio, which, for me was a little bit sad because I had been doing this show at CKUT for almost 10 years. Couldn't keep going, sadly, as a weekly show. But he got in touch with me. He said, join forces, come on board with Firebrand and let's keep doing this thing, albeit once a month. And it's going to be amazing. And I feel like, it just our mission and our values and our politics are kind of like so much in line that it just felt like an amazing fit. So, very, very excited for what is to come. I'm going to start doing a little bit of a regular segment on this show, which is what we're going to get to right now. And it's kind of the inspiration for it comes from a wonderful podcast. I want to give a huge shout out to it. My brothers at Trafe, which is another CKUT radio podcast. Y'all should go check it out. That's TREYF. And it's a radical Jewish culture and politics podcast, very much from the kind of leftist Jewish tradition, anti-colonial Jewish traditions. And so every podcast of theirs, they do this little segment called Shkoya, which is, Yiddish for like props or high fives. And so they give a Shkoya to something cool that's happening or someone who's done something cool. So I want to try to do kind of our own little Shkoya here on the Rebel Beat. But I'm not going to call it that because, that would just be a ripoff of Trafe. But we love you, Trafe. What we're going to do is we're going to devote a couple of minutes each podcast on the Rebel Beat to talk about an artist, a musician, or an activist, or an organization who are doing something amazing. And this month, I wanted to do that, give that musical props to Black Lives Matter Toronto. Now, why specifically Black Lives Matter Toronto? Well, big news, maybe some of you guys have heard about this, was that the Pride Toronto march or parade, this is more of a parade now, I guess, happened on July the 2nd. And for those of you who might not know, Pride Toronto is actually one of the biggest gay pride celebrations in the world. I think it's probably close to 1 million people that come to Toronto every year for the Pride Parade. I've been there before. It's a lot of fun. It's amazing. Political, it's not always political. And, I think there have been kind of critiques leveled against Pride over the years that, the whole Pride movement, the queer liberation movement, started as a riot, of course, Stonewall, 1969 in New York. It's really important that we remember these popular histories. And, flash forward 40, 50 years, sadly, a lot of these mega Pride celebrations have really just turned into rainbow floats for beer companies and banks and, sadly, the police. Now, Pride Toronto is really interesting because when there have been attempts over the last few years to kind of inject some radical politics back into Pride, sadly, they've kind of been pushed to the side or silenced. So if you look back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was Queers Against Israeli Apartheid that actually got banned from the Pride Parade and then had to fight to push their way back in. Now, this year, Black Lives Matter was one of the honored groups at the Pride Parade, so kind of invited to be one of the leading groups in the march. And what happened was, the march got underway And then at a certain point in downtown Toronto, Black Lives Matter did a sit-in where they stopped the parade and kind of held it up, did a blockade, and said, you know, the parade isn't moving anymore until Pride Toronto agrees to a list of demands. And what those demands were was essentially for more inclusion and a devotion of more resources to Black and brown folks, trans folks, queer youth of color in the Pride festivities. Because, for example, if you look at like the South Asian stage, it had been pushed to the side this year. And maybe most importantly, to prevent the police from participating in future Pride parades in Toronto. Now, if you go back a couple months ago, Black Lives Matter Toronto had been engaged in an amazing weeks-long sit-in in the winter months in front of the Toronto Police Headquarters to demand justice for Andrew Locu and other Black men in Toronto who had been killed by the police. And these killings, of course, have happened with impunity, like a lot of police killings in the U.S. So anyways, what happened is that the leader of Pride Toronto came to the sit-in and signed on to these demands and pledged, you know, in writing that there would not be any more police floats in the Toronto Pride Parade. Sadly, and I should say very cowardly, Pride Toronto went back on this, went back on the signature, you know, not even a day later, and said, well, we're not going to let Black Lives Matter dictate what happens at Pride Toronto. And maybe even more disgustingly is that there's been this huge racist backlash, and yes, even from within the queer community in Toronto, against Black Lives Matter, saying, you know, the Pride Parade is not a place to be expressing messages of Black power, which is complete and utter bullshit, because we know that all of these struggles, all of our liberation struggles, are intersectional. We can't talk about queer liberation if we don't talk about Black liberation, and vice versa. And I think Black Lives Matter has done an amazing point of saying that. You know, they've said not only Black Lives Matter, but all Black Lives Matter, including trans Black lives, queer Black lives. And so we want to send our complete love and solidarity to Black Lives Matter Toronto for pushing these politics within the Pride movement and the Pride parade, and trying to, you know, bring back that spirit of Stonewall, which is so sorely missing from a lot of Pride movements these days. And then, of course, you know, so this happened the first week of July, and this is just, you know, maybe 2 weeks after the tragedy that took place at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. And then, of course, you know, flash forward another week, we see the police in the U.S. killing more Black people and just getting more and more blood on their hands. So we're going to go now into a tune that was on a mixtape that Black Lives Matter Toronto put out back in March when they were doing their sit-in in front of the police headquarters. It's an amazing mixtape. You can go check it out. They have a Bandcamp page up where all the tracks are up there. It's mostly Toronto artists or a lot of Black Canadian artists laying down really, really deep political tracks. This is from an artist I love from Toronto named Ian Kamau. And I hope you enjoy. Love and solidarity to Black Lives Matter Toronto.
Bigger than your wicked system, bigger than your monarchy, bigger than your quiet mission, bigger than your fake democracy, louder than your education, built to push your lies, bigger than your segregation. You won't control our lives, and I say, wake up, wake up, wake up,
sleeping giant.
Wake up, wake up, wake up,
sleeping giant.
Louder than your empty promise, louder than your arms, louder than your foolish comments, louder than your bombs, bigger than your false division, keeping us apart, louder than your false religion that warps the truth inside our hearts. And I say, wake up, wake up, wake up,
sleeping giant.
Wake up, wake up, wake up,
sleeping
giant. Waking up the sleeping giant, opening our eyes. Is it wrong if we're defiant of arbitrary lines? Screaming out for revolution, is it not the time? Calling out for evolution, beginning in our minds. And I say, yeah, wake up, wake up, wake up,
sleeping giant.
Wake up, wake up, wake up,
sleeping giant.
Afrika ni jitu ambalo limelala. Lazima tuamke, tujiimarishe kwa unyenyekevu na ujasiri mkuu. Lengo liwe ni kujinua kimaisha, kiuchumi na pia kimaendeleo, ili tuvilinde vizazi vijavyo.
All right, so that brings us almost to the end of this launch edition, relaunch with Firebrand Records of the Rebel Beat. I want to thank all of you for listening, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can do that through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcast right now has it, iTunes. No, I said iTunes. What else did I want to say? Tune in or go to our website, rebelbeatradio.com. You can find it there. And also the Firebrand Records SoundCloud. You can get it up there as well. We are going to be back next month with more amazing music from the Firebrand Records family and beyond. On the next episode, we're going to be bringing you an interview with Montreal hip-hop legends Nomadic Massive. They've been doing their thing for over 10 years now. They are an incredible grassroots, multilingual, and of course, very political hip-hop group. I had a chance to catch up with them because they just put out a new album. It's amazing. It's called Big Band Theory. Caught up with them in a park in Montreal to talk about a lot of things, including migration, language, and, you know, community, how important community and neighborhoods are in hip-hop culture. And we'll leave you with a brand new one from Nomadic Massive. This is What You Know. Keep on listening. We'll be back in a few.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what you know about living in isolation and paranoia? Every time we step out, we're on a lookout for cop cars stopping a black man for no reason. Yo, you fit the description, you must know the routine.
What you know about white Latin, smooth satin, groove mapping, drum trapping, lip smacking on a roll, soul clapping, backpacking, no grappling, all zapping, Roger Moore macking, dinner jacket, kicking rap, cat, walk fast.
What you know about the sun when it's diving in the ocean and you're coasting over the clouds with your headphones on? Jet setting in a 727 when your rent is late. Workshop and show rock and show proven demonstrate.
What you know about this? What you know about that?
What you know about all the things that made us like that?
You and me, her and here, we all got our own thing.
If y'all know it all, then y'all don't know anything. What you know about this?
What you know about that?
What you know about all the things that made us like that?
You and me,
her and here,
we all got our own thing.
If y'all know it all, then y'all don't know anything. So what you know about repping local artists? Cause stock is cheap, like shallow comments on my street. Living broke and still making good music. Yo, you feeling it? 10 years deep, fixing a steep road, we're climbing it.
What you know about that? Oh no, Popo's got your cash slow. I'm the Buster Bodo, caged up so you don't grow. Less of biceps and abdos, time slow. A couple years, couple months, couple weeks left to go.
Whoa. What you know about the fact that your partner got your back? Never looking back to the day that you agreed to that. No matter the weather, whatever, you know it's forever certified strong. You need leverage to sever.
What you know about this?
What you know about that?
What you know about all the things that made us like that?
You and me,
her and here, we all got our own thing.
If y'all know it all, then y'all don't know anything.
What you know about this?
What you know about that?
What you know about all the things that made us like that?
You and me,
her and her, we all got our own thing.
If y'all know it all, then y'all don't know anything. So what you know about going all out by flipping the script? Rewriting history and making something out of nothing. Looking at the black sheep at the back of the Jeep. We banging beats, write raps, making the cipher complete.
What you know about rolling thick with a multicultural clique through the sticks?
We don't like your kind around,
but still we don't quit fit. Unite some color, hold the Benetton, got you running eggs Benedict.
What you know about a 9 to 5, then a 5 to 11? Heaven only existing in the words of your reverend, or on that poster that you keep over your head, repeating to yourself you're better off here than the place that you fled.
What you know about this?
What you know about that?
What you know about all the things that made us like that?
You and me,
her and here, we all got our own thing.
If y'all know it all, then y'all don't know anything. Dang.